trade. It doesn't make it better.
True. I'm like, yo, we just y'all. And we're live from My Hoops Podcast. Show the freshest opinions and views in the world's most beautiful game. I am your host, Greg. I'm here with the homies, Brian, TK, our boy Leek. Says he's on his way. We'll find out. And we got Keith. How we feeling, boys?
Feeling good, man. We almost made it to a year. We 1 week away from a year, and this has been a great journey, and I'm loving it, man.
Yeah, now we're definitely getting old in this podcast thing. Like, we're soon gonna be known as veterans instead of rookies, and that's crazy because, you know, I didn't think the amount of growth we were gonna have was gonna come.
Do you get classified a rookie? I mean, as a vet in your second year?
Man, I don't know.
It's after the first game of your second year.
So you're automatically considered a vet. I've always felt like veterans
you're no longer a rookie.
5 to 6 year moment is like that's when I start calling you a vet.
I respect that because I found out I think it's like your fourth year in the NBA, you get a pension. So that's when I started considering you a vet because when you get that pension, you know, money's behind your years, so I respect that. So that's my consideration of a vet. But in the podcast game, you don't get a pension. So
I don't know, you know, how that works in the podcast game.
Yeah. We gonna make the rules.
We don't. We just trying to get someone to cut us a check. So show love. Hey, yo, Keith, how you feeling?
Thumbs up.
Oh man, it's gonna be a great pod. It's gonna be a great pod. Yeah. So boys. The NBA restarted.
Yeah.
And we had some pretty good games, some nail biters, some ones going to the end. What are your first reactions from the return?
First reactions is they're playing hard. Like, let's just start it off on a positive note.
Okay.
We didn't know what we were going to get throughout this entire podcast. I'm not the podcast. Throughout this whole season. Yeah. We don't know what we're going to get out through this podcast, too, because for those listening, like, there's rumors of a hurricane hitting Virginia, and that's what we're based out of. It's raining right now, so bear with us. But throughout the bubble season, we didn't know how hard the guys were going to play, how much they're going to be sitting through the seeding games, and et cetera, et cetera. They are playing hard. It's not always pretty basketball, but they are playing hard, and that's what I really do appreciate. But it does look like a souped-up AAU tournament out there at times.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what I thought it'd be. It looks like a souped-up AAU tournament. Now, I will say they are playing relatively hard. Like I said, they're playing like it's regular season basketball. So, like I said, you see some guys kind of taking it easy, like LeBron, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. He's revving himself up. He's trying to get himself
in
rhythm.
I hope he is.
I do too, yeah. But whatever. As a Laker fan, I have to hope that.
I told myself I'd give it a game five.
So, like I said, they're playing relatively hard. But at the end of the day, like I said, the basketball has been interesting, but it's been what I expected. It's been a little disjointed. The one place, like I said, I told somebody the other day, two places you're really going to see where things are kind of out of rhythm. One is on defense.
For sure.
Defensive rotations right now are horrendous. Like, you can tell guys don't know where to go.
Yeah, one thing I kept hearing from, like, Stan Van Gundy, Mark Jackson, said, why these guys keep jumping and why these guys, like, so flat-footed? I said, I don't think people understand how difficult it is to play defense. Like,
after a 4.5 month break.
Yeah, like, that's a rhythm in itself.
Yeah.
So, like, to not jump on shooters and all of that, that's a rhythm in itself more so.
I mean, as much as people like to talk about, like, knowing offensive plays and knowing where you're supposed to be on the court offensively, like, that goes just as much on defense. Yeah, like,
defensive rotations are super important.
Like, knowing the reads we're going to make on pick and rolls, knowing where you're supposed to be on the weak side, knowing who's switching where, knowing who can switch, who can't. Like, that's all rhythm. And, be honest, it's something that's really tough to pick up after, what, they get 2 weeks of the training camp in this, essentially?
Right. That's the difference between a 60-point half from an all-time 80-point.
Exactly. we're watching games end up in 140. And granted, not to say these games don't happen in the regular season, but it's just like you can see a lot of these games. You're just like guys are just wide open or rotations are just missed. And it's like it's almost – you can't really blame nobody for it. It's just like it just takes time.
Right.
Like if anybody that's played basketball, you know, especially if you've been on a good basketball team, your defensive rotations early in the season are nowhere near what they are at the end of the season. Like
exactly.
Y'all just know each other better. Mm-hmm. And 4 months off, I don't care how much film you watch. I don't care how much you try to get shots up in your house.
Like, that's an off-season.
It is an off-season. Like, 4 months is essentially the off-season in the NBA. that's what they had off, and now you can't expect them to come back and pick up where they left off. So defensive rotation, and the other thing that's really showing up is turnovers. Like,
yeah,
turnovers yeah. are sky high right
it's,
now.
It's not even throwing the ball away. It's a lot of traveling being calls. A lot of people who can't avoid charges. It's a lot of people who I've seen a carry get called once or twice, and I was like, wow.
One thing I did want to bring up:
these refs.
I have an issue with these refs.
You have an issue?
I got some problems with the refs.
I don't have an issue with the refs.
Why not?
Me and Leek were going back and forth. It was the Lakers Clippers games. And we're probably gonna get to that later. But to open it up, and you know, Leek was complaining about the refs, and I was like, yo, Leek, don't complain about the refs, because whether you're going to say they're good or bad, this has been some of the fairest officiating I've ever seen. It's ridiculous. Because I remember Kawhi got called for like a travel, and he was like, nah, they better call it when LeBron does it. The very next play, LeBron travels and they calls it. And I look at him, I'm like, yo, these seeding games, I don't want to hear any complaint about the refs, because whether it's good or bad, it's fair.
I have an issue with the refs in terms of technicals.
They've been handing them out like
I didn't know that's what I thought you were gonna go with the calls. I'm cool with the text.
Some of the calls I'm like, I wouldn't
They're never gonna get it perfect
The absence of the fans are affecting the refs more than their players at this
I think
point.
It is.
Because they hear everything.
Yeah.
And now it's no more sugarcoating. It's no more the noise got drowned out. It's like, but then, you really said that to me?
Jason Tatum got teed up for talking to himself. Like,
what did he say to himself?
I can't repeat it.
If I don't say it to you, Brian, but I'm over here like, yo, Brian is the bleep, 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 and you hear it all. Like, yeah, I'm talking to myself, but take me up. Like, I mean, I'm one of those guys that, like, I do believe that intent, like saying something to somebody, makes it worse. But you're right. The fans out there, all it does is, like, amp up the actual player voices. So if you are still saying the same things in a regular season, now you're getting protected up for it, all I'm thinking in my head is, wow, like, they can hear you now. So I'm not thinking they're calling text for the wrong reason. I think it should have just been more text, but they couldn't hear you at first.
I think there's got to be a level of understanding and contextualizing what's happening.
It got to be a level of respect, too. I'm sitting here defending refs.
There's always been this lack of respect. There's always been this level of respect given or not given. And that's where I stand. So we've always said what we wanted as players. I'm talking as players. We've always said these exact things in regular NBA games.
Yes, sir.
Now, you may have not heard me or not, but I said it. I said it. But so now, even if I'm talking to myself or even if I'm talking to another player, fans or no fans, you choke on your whistle, fam. You don't call that this time.
So you think, so whether they hear it or not shouldn't matter?
It depends on what's being said. It depends on the context of the game. What game was that, B? We were texting back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was like three texts back to back to back. And I'm like,
I think it was was it the Portland game?
I think it was Portland. It was,
I'm trying to remember which one it was, though. It might have been Portland Memphis. It was Portland Memphis.
Nurkic got hit back one. Back. And I'm like,
it was ridiculous.
Put that away. You are killing the flow of the game. That and the hostile. And the hostile, act
whack.
Call.
Yeah, that's
like,
whack.
That's
whack.
Where they came
whack.
With
that's
that.
Whack. The hostile what?
The hostile act. Like, LeBron almost got hit with one, too, because he had, like, put out his arm, but breath flopped. So,
like, if you hit somebody in the groin, somebody in the eye, they automatically go to the camera.
Yeah, check if it was intentional. Hostile,
Okay.
And I'm like, come on, bro. Like, this is basketball. We know in a real game. We know in a real intense being played. Like,
now I do agree with you on a hostile act. Now, as far as the text, if you say it, I don't care if it's to me or whatever. If I hear it and it was that disrespectful and worthy of a text, like, we don't hear everything that's said on that court. Like, those refs are still grown men. Like, people gotta realize. Like, I'm not trying to get talked to that way.
Absolutely. Like I said, I've always stood on the side of, like,
there's a balance as a ref. There's a level of tough skin you gotta have.
But the increase of techs might have, technical calls might have been caused because you mentioned there's no fans to drown out that noise. So it doesn't necessarily mean like they're giving out BS techs. It just means they can hear more techs that they should have been getting out sooner during a regular season. That's the way I see it.
If you see the tally going up and you realize, like, look, y'all, whenever there was fans, they would average of two techs. Now we're looking at the end of the bubble. We got an average of 4.5 techs. Like, all right, you got to slow down on the whistle. That's my opinion. That's me.
I think
That's me.
I think the players. That's me. Man, I don't think I'm so player heavy.
I don't think the players are egregious.
They should.
I don't think the players.
We don't hear what they're saying, Greg. We don't hear what they're saying.
I've been reading lips. They've been saying what they've been saying. It ain't nothing new.
You know what? I can't say this. Let's say hypothetically, if you're right, they've been saying what they've always said, and it's nothing new. They should have been getting teched up for some of the stuff they said in the regular season. They should have, Greg. They should have.
That's trash.
They should have.
You sound like a company, man.
I don't want to sound like I'm protecting the rest, but like it just, I understand why the increase of texts have gone up. I understand it.
I just don't like it.
As far as the egregious act thing, like that's dumb. Like we can see when somebody's actually being harmful to another human being. Right. And I don't think in this kind of setting somebody's going to intentionally try to do that. Like if somebody tries to intentionally hurt somebody in this setting, they're stupid. You're stupid regardless, but now you're like super stupid.
I agree. I mean, I don't know if anybody gonna go to blows. I don't think anybody's gonna fight. But we'll see in the playoffs.
Well, we'll see. I would say the playoffs is where we'll rock off.
These bubble games, I don't expect it. I don't expect
it. The COVID Invitational, a.k.a. Peace Jam. Peace Jam is what's going to be rocking, bro. Professional Peace Jam. PBJ, Professional Peace Jam.
But, like, yeah, so I think that's one of the things I had an issue with. Another thing, I was concerned about New Orleans. I still am a little concerned about New Orleans. Yeah. But initially, off the first game, I was like, did they come here to win and go to the playoffs, or were they just here to chill? And that would have that
because of Zion's minutes. Because of Zion's minutes. Well.
But then I also understand, like, do what's better for your franchise. But you're here, you might as well.
I was really interested to see what B would say about that. Just from, like, you know, getting to, like, the coach's mind about... Because I know how I feel about it, but I'm like, let me get another perspective.
Alvin Gentry wants to play him. I don't think it's the Alvin Gentry thing. I know he wants to play him.
Yeah, you think it's a higher up. Oh,
for sure.
I was just wondering if it's any other details about it that you might have seen personally from watching the games.
So this is where I need more information. Because it seems like, once again, it seems like they're kind of being really cautious with him. The question is, why? Do they know something we don't know? Do they know he's carrying too much weight? Is he complaining about his knee being sore? Like, is there an injury fear that is legitimate?
But he did complain about his minutes. So I wouldn't imagine that you're hurt and complaining about your minutes.
It happens.
It happens all the time.
I would hope not. In this case.
Especially for a young player, like, he hasn't been able to play all season. It's been 4 months.
Who understands the impact he has on the team?
Like, so it's very possible he's been complaining about his injury and at the same time talking about, no, let me play. Like, so I need more information on that aspect. As a coach, I'll be honest, I have more of an issue with Zion than anything else in this situation. Because.
What, on the defensive end? Which he's been atrocious?
He's been. Like, we're not, like I said, take all that out of the conversation right now. Just the fact that we're still having this conversation. You had 4 months to get your body right. And granted, it's been an interesting situation. You probably haven't been able to go out like you want to. Like, I get it.
But
like
before
I said,
the bubble, he looked physically from the pictures we saw, from the videos we saw, we were like, oh, my gosh.
But he's always going to look like that's the thing. Even right now, he still looks ripped and big.
Nah, he doesn't look that much. So when he moves on the court, it looks like heavy, and it looks like it's actually taking him some effort.
Absolutely. So it's like that as a coach, that would be my issue with Zion. It's like, dude, like you had 4 months to get ready for this. And granted, we didn't know it was going to be this 8-game, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you had 4 months to assume we were coming back.
Right.
And you still aren't at your peak, physically at least.
That's a fair point.
Like, that would be my issue as a coach. Mm. Everything else aside, like, we get it. Like I said, he had to leave the bubble for family reasons. Once again, going into this idea of knowing your body. Like, Zion seems like one of those athletes. I was listening to Doug Gottlieb the other day. Granted, I don't agree with everything he says, but he does make some interesting points from time to time. And Zion kind of falls in this category of athlete who seems like he falls out of shape very quickly. And if you know that about yourself, you have to guard yourself against that.
Yeah.
You have to understand, like, yo, all right, I'm leaving the bubble for whatever reason, family reasons. Okay, yes, it's a personal thing I got to deal with, but I still got to get up and run. I still got to stretch. I still got to eat right. Like, if you want to be the star, you want to be the superstar, you want to be ESPN is trying to hype him up as the next great one. For better or worse.
I don't know Well, that's going to be the case right now.
And once again, it all seems like the reason it won't happen is because he can't manage his body. And at this point, you're in the NBA. You have the money. You have the access. Yes, it's difficult in New Orleans. New Orleans got some great food. So I get it. That's a struggle in and of itself.
You have no legitimate excuses as to why you can't do it.
Exactly. So that's my issue as a coach. Now, as far as him playing minutes, once again, I need more information on that. I don't know what's really going on in that locker room.
I think that's where I would peg it. I would peg it as, like, this is more of a ownership David Griffin thing.
Absolutely.
Before it's Gentry and the team. I think the team is looking at him and say, like,
let him play.
Let him play. Put him on the court. We like having him on the court. Whether he's going 2-for-6 to start or whether he's going 5-for-6 to start.
I think this is the meeting point, though, between, like, the league and the Pelicans, is the fact that he's playing restricted minutes.
Yeah. Because
Adam Silver definitely was, like, I think if it was up to the Pelicans front office, he wouldn't be playing, period.
Probably.
But to the league, it's like, you need...
He has the play.
Yeah.
They expedited his quarantine.
They've done everything possible, like, to put him on.
Which I also have an issue with, but that's very a whole other thing.
Can you imagine that? Expediting somebody's quarantine through a global pandemic.
They ain't do it for Lemon Pepper Lou.
Zion didn't get caught nowhere, though.
True. Man, I feel like you can go to an organization that got wings named after you, but whatever. Whatever.
Whole different conversation. But yeah, like, I don't know, man. New Orleans, realistically speaking, if you're going to limit Zion's minutes, like, what are y'all really doing here then?
And that's what my mindset was. When they kept doing the five-minute burst, especially in the first game, I'm like, are they trying to win?
No, they're not.
Are they trying to win?
They're not.
Like, what's the point of you being here?
They're trying to lose as entertainingly as possible.
And so I was,
that's what it feels like.
And that bothered me.
One thing that I did see, sticking with the Pelicans, though, me and Leek had watched that game. Well, at least watched. I think we watched the end of the game together.
Yeah.
Between the Pelicans and the Clippers, of course.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When the Clippers smacked them. But yeah, at the end of the game, when PG just has his arm around Drew Holiday. Mind you, Drew Holiday is one of my favorite players.
One of the most underrated players in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing bad I can say about Drew Holiday. Leek was just eyes lit up. Because Leek isn't here right now, so I'm trying to, like, throw some topics that he might throw out as well.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to get this four-man pod going where everybody feels equal.
Wow.
But we have seen recruiting after games often.
There's no way they can get Drew.
But I'm going to say this weird point that I totally disagree with. Okay. But he said he would give up anything on the bench for Drew. Any combination of whatever.
Match, though. Like, Drew is making a lot of money still.
I wasn't even thinking about contracts because that's what I had killed him with. But yeah. I was just like, would you give up Lou and Trez for this is the trade that he was okay with. Lou, Trez for Nikhil and Drew.
Leek thinks as a GM, though. But go ahead. Say it again.
I just had to make sure I wasn't tripping.
Lou, Trez
for Nikhil and Drew. And I told him I wouldn't.
As a Clipper, I would. If I was New Orleans, I wouldn't.
I told him New Orleans would never do it, but I told him, like, even if I was a Clipper,
very redundant.
Yeah. It makes no sense for New Orleans.
I just didn't see why the Clippers would do it as well, because they lose a lot too, as well.
I mean, theoretically, like I said, you get Drew instead of Lou. Like, that's a better two-way player. Pretty much gives you the same production of offense.
You lose Trez.
But you lose Trez. But at the end of the day, I'm on the fence of...
anyway.
Exactly. You're going to lose Trez anyway. And I honestly believe you can... Like, Zubac is pretty much showing he's going to be their center for the future.
Okay.
So,
I mean,
you can find somebody to be
the
backup big.
Something that popped up in my head.
But if I'm New Orleans, there's no way I touch that. There's no way I touch that.
Oh, no, I told him that. I was like, yo, New Orleans would never do a move like that.
And Clippers have no picks left to give, so.
I don't blame them for not having any picks. I would have did the same thing.
I would say there's definitely recruiting going on in this bubble. This bubble is tampering you. Like, it's,
absolutely. Everybody should be happy the Warriors aren't there right now.
Ooh, where do we end up with Giannis? You know how, like, you can go to some AAU tournaments, right? The kid will play a game.
I've seen it.
Wow, jersey!
I've seen it. He'll walk in with one jersey
and
walk out
with
a different one. And
bro,
all you can do is go.
That's how this bubble will feel for Giannis, yo.
I just played you. You on two teams? He's like, hey, yo.
I had to do what I had to do.
I'm like, what happened?
Especially after you smack him the first time.
It's the early ones, yo.
You're like, I just beat you by 20. Now you're on this mop. Bro,
that's funny to me. That's funny to me because we be in, like, you know how you in free throws. I go up to, I talk to a guy, I be like, "Yo, what happened with the other team?" He said, "Bro, coach won't let me rock." He got all types of excuses. Now he on this team.
If it's not an official AAU event, kids be swapping jerseys quick as a mug, bro.
Facts, big facts. Oh man,
that'd be funny though.
But yeah, there's definitely some tampering.
I'm cool with it.
Tampering the players do it, but it's anyway. Definitely some recruiting going on with players in there.
I'm cool with it,
and it don't bother me none. If, like I said, as an organization, it's your job to give your team what you need, and if you don't, then players got the right to see elsewhere.
Yeah. Big fact.
I've never been on a fan of trying to guilt the players into staying in one spot because that's how it's done, and you got to suffer with your team. No, bro. Like, if my job sucked, guess what I'm doing. Moving to another job, and it's if it's within the same field or the same or like our main competitors, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm gonna go and do what's best for me. So I'm never gonna look at a player for switching jerseys, doing what's best for them.
For sure,
I've said from jump, we are in the AAU culture officially now.
Yeah,
in the NBA.
I see it.
This NBA generation is like the official AAU culture.
Like, it's here,
and we literally just talked about it as guys who came up in AAU basketball. You'll see a kid walk in with a jersey and walk out in a different jersey.
If he kept that other jersey, too.
And kept them both. I paid for it, and I'm keeping it.
That's
whatever.
Mine.
Like, if y'all don't think y'all about to see this in the NBA, I don't know what to tell you. Like, this is what it is now in the NBA. Deal with it.
Which brings up a good point, because I thought about this. On the docket, when I kind of put it in there, I said Utah may have a problem. And I think the problem is, one of those guys who may get poached out is Donovan Mitchell. I'm looking at Utah, and granted, this is just me. I haven't heard anything else. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anybody else say this. If they did, then okay. But my mentality is Utah has been struggling.
Right.
Mike Conley was supposed to come in and help.
Did not.
He has not thus far.
Shout out Mike Conley.
He played a good game.
Shout out Mike Conley, but you haven't been Mike Conley we expected. You haven't been the first man to get the max, that the super max that we expected.
Yeah, for sure.
You haven't been 157 mil.
I mean, he was getting up there in age, so I mean, it makes sense. He's different.
But still, like,
Rudy Gobert, as good as he is,
is a flaw.
Huge flaw. Anthony Davis had it glaring.
Well, his AD.
I mean, I think that's going to be a common thing. There's more players that's going to be like Anthony Davis, and they're going to put them at the five, and then Rudy Gobert is going to have to make a decision.
So you think Donovan Mitchell is going to be the one who gets poached out of there soon?
I think Donovan Mitchell might rock.
Well,
this is my take. I think Donovan Mitchell will not take his max.
I was just about to bring up the money. You take your first max. He hasn't gotten paid yet, so he...
That's my take. So
I think he's going to be there because he hasn't gotten paid yet. Like, you have to at least get the first max goal.
So are you saying he's gonna play on a qualifying offer? That's what you're saying. You're saying he's gonna refuse the max. He's gonna play 1 year on a qualifying offer and try to do it.
It's possible.
I don't see that.
That's
happening,
a big gamble.
It's possible.
I don't think anybody's done that. What is he gonna be like 24 when he's up for 20? Yeah, something like that.
I don't have my laptop today, so I'm kind of out of it.
It doesn't even matter. He's just going to be way too young to just deny the first
match. I mean, the problem
the
is he's
match.
Still a restricted free agent.
So they can just match anything.
So,
and if I'm Utah, I'm matching everything. I'm not losing him for nothing.
I mean, teams are going to throw the bag at him regardless. Now, once again, he can make it clear he doesn't want to come back to Utah, but once again, Utah can match.
So they just match the offer sheet of that what one-year deal he'll ever
but
put
they
on.
Can, but whatever they can do, they can always just try to trade him. Like, he's not going to just walk out of Utah.
Okay. Yes. He's not just gonna walk out of Utah. I'll give you that.
You might as well sign the max and then try to force your way out.
So yes, you're right. He is not necessarily just gonna walk out the door. Somebody's gonna match. They're gonna find some way to kind of like.
He's gonna sign a max and then he's
gonna
try to
force
the
trade. At best, he's gonna get a sign and trade.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think that's what we're looking at. I think that's what we're looking at. Because
I think they'll get rid of Gobert before they let that happen.
I thought that too.
Like, Utah can't afford to let Mitchell go.
Donovan Mitchell's the future.
Donovan Mitchell is the future. But does Donovan Mitchell feel like that's the organization that's going to best help him succeed?
I think
some organizations just always are second fiddle.
Utah has shown they're very good at building teams. So it's not like it's not like he's been on a bad team.
They're always
going to
be competitive, dog.
It's
And don't get me wrong. This is what let's keep in mind what we just talked about. We're talking about an AAU culture. I want to hoop with the homies. It's cool. Just
like, who's his homies, though? That's
what,
the question.
I don't know. And that's what this bubble's going to show when it comes time. That's my mentality. My mentality is we're going to find out who his homies are, and then he's going to end up around them. Next thing you know, we're going to hear about rumors of where he should be.
I don't think he's going to end his career in Utah, for sure. For other reasons, too, that's outside of the court. I don't think he's going to get out of there within the next 2 years.
Oh, I know where he's going. Shout out the league. Miami. Now let me stop.
That's the superstar trade?
That would be the one.
I don't know, because I don't know. I don't know. Nah. And I think that's the way I in terms of the AAU culture, in terms of wanting to be around your homies, wanting to play with you. And then especially in this bubble situation, you see everybody got a guy. Ja got Jaren. Zion got B.I. and Zoe. Like, everybody got a guy.
It's just
Luka got Kristaps. Like, he ain't got one. And I think this is a moment, like, I think it was the last game. It was the night before. He was playing really well, but everybody else around him was struggling to hit shots. Like, he was kicking it out. Guys were open. Of course, they're missing Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
But, like,
badly.
There was, like, badly. And, like, he was kicking it out. Good dimes, good feeds. Guys open in rhythm. Clank. Guys open in clank. And then, Rudy just not really being an offensive threat. You could see he needed help.
I got you.
And when you're in a bubble and you see everybody else got help, like, we talk about Dame and CJ all the time. Dame went for 30. CJ came back and got his 30. Like, AD gets 34. Bron gets 22. It's just really easy for me to say, all right, man, either I got
to
rock. Or
I'm more of a guy of a likelihood. I think it's more likely that they get Donovan the help that he wants rather than they ship Donovan.
Who likes to come to Utah?
I mean, once again, I think they're gonna trade Gobert for somebody. Like, they're gonna try to swing Gobert and
make some other young up and coming. Exactly. Like, who wants to go to Oklahoma City? No disrespect to Oklahoma City, it's just not a major market.
Oklahoma City's not a major market. Don't get me wrong, but they have a good propensity to treat their stars well. They treat their stars well.
But Jazz has a good history of basketball and competitive basketball.
They have a good history of being the second fiddle. No disrespect to Utah. Like, I gotta start saying that now.
You do. You do.
What?
Rudy Gobert for Jared Allen, Spencer Dinwiddie.
Does Brooklyn want that?
Yeah, I was about to say that. That's the question.
Why wouldn't you if you're Brooklyn? That's all you need. You got KD and Kyrie. Like,
because
you
just need a defensive
system. You got DJ.
You might want to flirt with the
you got
the
DJ
third
who's expensive.
Max, like, all-star type of caliber.
Why would I give up? Why would I give up on Bradley?
You already got Caris LeVert. Like, Caris LeVert's showing us he's a bucket. Like,
he is.
He, like, why would you trade? Like, why would you go out of your way to trade for another all-star when Caris can be that third and you can get the defensive player?
What we have seen from super teams is to gut everything except their two main superstars and get a third one.
But my thing is, like,
so you don't want to trade away Spencer and Jared Allen, who can be used as trading chips with Caris LeVert.
So you don't think Rudy Gobert and Caris LeVert equal up to a third superstar?
You said who?
Caris LeVert and Rudy Gobert don't equal up to a third superstar. Those two combined don't equal up to a third superstar.
For sure, but if I'm the Jazz, honestly, like, probably would rather have. I'm going to try to get Caris. I'm going to try to get Caris.
That's what I would swing for. Like, but I would be okay with Spencer.
I don't think I would settle for Spence.
I wouldn't have a problem with Spencer.
I might. If I'm the Jazz, knowing that I'm trying to build younger but still stay competitive, I think I might go for Caris and Jared Allen rather than Spence. But I don't know how the money works either. Mm.
Spencer and Caris are both on decent contracts. Like I said, you're getting Jared Allen, who kind of gets to replace what Rudy Gobert does to a certain extent, and he's much younger. And then, like I said, I would go for Caris at first, but like I said, I don't know if Brooklyn would actually go for that. Getting Spencer Dinwiddie to pair with Donovan Mitchell, I think, would actually be a really good backcourt. Granted, defensively, wouldn't be great, but I think those two would actually complement each other very well.
For sure. I'm not arguing the logistics of the trade. It's just, for how long and whether I'd be ready to take that how long for the Jazz and the Nets.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
I don't know.
I mean, I still, like I said, Utah would still be a move away, but I think it would put them in a better spot than they are now, if that makes sense.
I think they would, but I think they would end up having to flip the trade they did just made.
I think they would end up having to flip like Joe Ingles. And like, I think at that point, the rest of the roster were even. If you give me Donovan Mitchell, Jared Allen, like I said, give me Spencer Dinwiddie to be the point guard for the next 3 years. Like at that point now, I just need to go get really good wings. So I need to get rid of Joe Ingles, maybe keep Bogdanovich. Like you need to start placing some of the players around them. But I think that's a solid core.
I don't know. The way I look at it is like.
The other question is Donovan Mitchell really a number one guy?
I think he's the number one option. Now, number one option on a championship team is always the question. But he's 23.
That's what we're talking about here. He's 23. But that's what we're talking about here. Like, you're talking about he wants to team up. Like, the only reason you're teaming up is trying to win a championship. For sure. So is he a number one guy on a championship team? That's the question.
But that's just on a hypothetical of him trying to force his way out of Utah and them trying to keep him. So we're going with that hypothetical. Like, I still think that he's a number one option. I think the trajectory of his career from what we've seen so far has the potential for him to be the number one option on the championship winning team. Now, would I bet for to bet against it? Probably against it, because it's only a handful of people that are going to be good enough to be number one options that are for sure going to win a championship. Like, it's only a handful.
I'm going to go back to my statement that I say, it feels like I say it every other week. Small guards aren't number one options on championship teams consistently.
Yeah, because what is he, 6'4 and a half?
6'3.
6'3.
Like, him and Steph Curry the same size.
Dumb bounce.
Very. He's got crazy bounce. But small guards don't lead championship teams. Especially ones who aren't, I hate to say this, aren't necessarily playmakers. Like, he's a scorer.
It's scoring, in my opinion, is the most important play.
Once again, this is not a slight to Donovan Mitchell at all.
No, not at all.
Because I'm here. You hear me. Great you player. Hear me, D. Mitch.
Not just like Donovan Mitchell at all. I think he's a great player.
Phenomenal.
I don't know if he's a number one. All off the strength of he's a scorer.
Yeah.
But he's a spotty scorer.
Yeah, he's very streaky.
He
like,
is, like, but I think
when he's hot, it's crazy.
And once again, you gotta contextualize. That's like my favorite word now. Because it's all dependent upon it's all dependent upon the team and what's happening around him, who's on the court with him at this point. And then it goes into the fact, look who's guarding him half the time. Like, he's being guarded by 6'7", 6'6", 6'8".
I mean,
it's going to
be his whole career. Like, yeah. Unless he's going to become a full-time point guard, that's going to be his career.
And he's young.
That's
like,
my point.
Of course, like, all of that matters in terms of his growth and his elevation as a player.
Yeah.
And he did have those early bursts where we were like, yo, I think that might be the next D-Wade.
And that is why I think, like, we got to a point where we're criticizing how we are, like, we're critiquing him. It's because we got shown so much by him at such a young age. We're like, why isn't your elevation still the same as it was when we didn't expect you to be this good? So I do want to give him grace to have streaky scoring starts and not tag him with he's a streaky scorer. You know what I mean? Right. I want to see how he further develops. So
when
he is 25, 26, I'm like, yo, this might be who you are. But right now at 23, I'm like, you have so much room for improvement that I can't necessarily crucify you off of this.
And I'll be fair, whether he's a number one or a number two, we've seen number ones want help.
Absolutely.
And want number one option type help.
First of all, not to even, I know he's on my team now, but not even to do this. Bron cries for help like every year.
Big facts.
And Bron fans cry for help for Bron even louder than he does. How many times have he switched up the roster because he wanted help? Like,
big fact.
Everybody needs help. So just somebody being understandably angry that they don't have enough help, especially with a team like the Utah Jazz who have been competitive in a playoff team his whole career.
Yeah.
Yep. He's like, yo, like, I'm not just trying to get bounced in the first round or second round like every year. Like, eventually when you get a taste of the playoffs, your next goal is to try to get to the conference finals, the finals. He's already in that mindset, but maybe his ability and his hasn't caught up yet because he's so young. There's some people in the league that have just put in so much more work than you. And yeah. I'm not one of those people that's like, wait in line for your turn. I don't believe in that. Go take your turn. Like, there's not your turn, my turn. There's no pay homage to my predecessors. Like, they have to get theirs before I get mine. As soon as they're your rivals and your competition.
Yeah, we wearing different jerseys. I'm out
for
here.
For sure. Like, I don't care if you've been waiting 10 years to get to the finals, bro. I'm trying to get there now. So I understand his sentiment about that, but I just don't wanna I don't wanna critique him too harshly simply because I think he has a whole lot of promise and he's only 23.
I mean, so like I said, and it was going back like when I threw the trade idea out there. Like the trade idea is simply on the idea of how are you operating? Are you operating on the idea that Donovan Mitchell is going to become a number one clear cut option on a championship team? If that's the case, getting a guy like Spencer Dinwiddie and Jared Allen works for him. Now, if you're operating on the idea of him becoming the number two, now it becomes a lot harder to build around him. So once again,
well, if he's a number two, you don't build around him.
Huh? But that's the thing. Like,
you don't got to get a body in there. And that's the tough part.
But the thing about it is, and this is what I would say, with small guards, who also the only way Donovan Mitchell is effective is if he has the ball in his hands.
That's so, partially due to why Michael Conley isn't working. Partially.
Yeah. Partially.
Very loosely partially. Donovan Mitchell's, this has been the best year of Donovan Mitchell's career. He's playing the best of basketball of his career this year. He's shooting hot. He's shooting a better percentage.
Turnovers are down.
Assists are up.
He's playing the best. A lot of the younger guys had phenomenal seasons this year. Like, we're about to see the changing of the guard in the next 3 years.
But, like I said, the idea of, like I said, if you're building around Donovan Mitchell as a ball-dominant guard, it's always tough to build around those players. Sure. Because, like, what do you put around a guy who needs the ball in his hands but isn't really a great passer? Is a so-so defender. It's all like it's so hard to build around those type of players. I can't stress that enough.
Essentially, you're gambling on whether they develop correctly or not.
I mean, you're essentially gambling on him becoming the best scorer in the league because that's what he would have to be in order for you to win the championship.
That's fair. Yeah, one of the top four scorers in the league.
That's exactly what Dwayne Wade was. Yeah. That stretch.
Nah,
exactly.
That's a fair assessment.
Like I said, Steph Curry, Isaiah Thomas, like those guys, in order to win a championship, you have to become one of the best scorers in the league. So if that's what you're banking on Donovan Mitchell becoming, that's a hard bet.
I'm just not mad at anybody who's banking on that. From what we've seen in his first three seasons, if you're one of those people who is like, yo, like I'm a bank on D. Mitch being one of the top four or five scorers in the league, and we'll build around that. I can't sit here and say, like, oh, that's a bad decision because he could end up a top four or five scorer in the league when he hits his prime. So,
and the argument against that would be he got to remember he came into the league when he was 21 already.
That's true.
So, like, he's going to be 24. Like, normally 24 to 25 is like, yo, this is the best version of you most likely at 24, 25. Most of the league. This is, like, the best version of you, at least athletically speaking, right. So on and so forth. So, like I said,
he's about to hit a physical
peak. And once again, a small guard who relies on athleticism. It's like, you got like a 3-year window to show us you can be a top scorer in the league, essentially. You got to be a 25-plus scorer next year.
I don't think any of the criticisms against Donovan Mitchell are false.
I want to be very clear. This isn't criticism.
Yeah, criticism.
This is just me in the front office as a GM.
Exactly. This is the reality of what the league does.
This is all criticism. It's just we took the word criticism to mean negative.
Right. I mean,
we're just literally critiquing his game.
This is more so the reality of how GMs, scouts, players, coaches, all that think of their talent, think of their players.
For sure.
And so that's the struggle that he's going to have when he hits that 25-26 moment. Because, granted, he's still, mentally, he's on the same time clock as Jason Tatum.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mentally.
Yeah.
But the rest of the league is looking at him like, you should be way up here.
You're about to hit your mid-20s, bro.
Right. And so that's the struggle. And that's the disappointment.
And like I said, I'm not mad at any of the negative critique, and I'm not mad at any of the positive ones who want to be hopeful for him. I think he's shown why people should back him, and I think people have a legitimate reason to look at him like, I don't know if we can win with you a championship with you being our number one. Mm. So it's like a 50-50, and I hate being 50-50 about things, but as of right now, I'm the Utah Jazz. I think I would lean more towards the positive because I don't know, at least I can project it. And I do think one of the things that keeping him will help, you will always be able to flip Donovan Mitchell for something.
Yeah, that's a big fact. Yeah.
So even if you keep him for too long and realize he's not the number one, like he hits 27 or something like that, you can flip Donovan Mitchell for something.
Yeah,
I'll give you definitely that. A first rounder, bare minimum. He's going to be that good where you can flip him for something like that.
So this is where Greg knows me from 2K. I'm all about flipping a guy when he's high. I'm going to flip you when nobody expects it. Like, that's how I operate. Because like,
if you're not a champ, the mentality is, if I'm not a championship team, and this is where all GMs are different. Me and Brian play 2K, my league, completely different than anybody else. But if you're not a championship team, but you just came off an MVP season and I realize you ain't the guy to carry my team to that championship team, you may have won your MVP with me. You might be gone the next year.
And it's I will
sick
sit,
as it is.
And I will sit at the press conference and go, I don't think he was going to lead us to a championship.
See, like I'm such a, like, I guess like, I'm such person. A different kind of mentality. And mind you, it's maybe because I was just such a Kobe fan growing up, and I saw our dark years. So I was like, yo, if you have that caliber of ability and we haven't won anything, I generally put it on myself. Like, I'm like, yo, I should have had now, and put more.
That's
stuff
the Danny Ainge it. Approach. Kobe, I think Utah is on
Kobe
yours.
Bryant and Donovan Mitchell are two totally different.
I know,
So let's not confuse.
That's why I was getting. Yeah, I'm not comparing the two as in like, oh, they gotta keep him because he's the next Kobe. I was just thinking of like what watching Kobe did to me and how it destroyed my GM mind. Because I look at it like, if you are our number one option, and if you are, because you said MVP caliber, I don't think Donovan Mitchell is probably gonna ever win an MVP in his career.
I don't know if Donovan Mitchell ever be one of the top four guards in the West. Like, that's the thing.
It's scary. Like, D-Book been going off, and he only got an All-Star D-Book, game because
Steph,
of...
Ja, Luka.
Man,
that's
it's
Donovan's
a lot.
Competition.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I'm not going to get stuck on Donovan Mitchell all day. I just understand the right. negatives and the positives.
Yeah, like I said, I think there's both. I just, like, as a GM, it's like, looking at it, it's just like, I don't know what you do if you're Utah. Because you trying to trade him now, which is maybe what I might try to do, but trying to trade him now, you're essentially hitting the reset button. You might as well trade Gobert, yeah. trade Mitchell.
Might as well blow it up.
Yeah, you're blowing it up at that point. Because they got lucky with Mitchell anyway. Nobody expected him to be this good in the NBA. Because they got him, I think, what, like 12 or 13? Like, he was late lottery. So, nobody expected him to be this good anyway. So, they can look at it as, yo, we got when Gordon Hayward left, we thought we were going to take a step back anyway. Mm-hmm. Mitchell was a surprise. Now
Jazz,
we're...
Jazz, like, I thought we were resetting and it didn't work. How you fail your reset?
I mean, once again, Mitchell came in, it was a 20-point score. Like, nobody saw it coming.
He was just NBA ready.
He was NBA ready, and he's been really good throughout his entire career.
Shout out D-Mitch. Ain't nobody hating. We love
At
him.
All, man. Yo, you're a great player. Dog. I would love to see you. Matter of fact, I would love to see you team up with Giannis. I think that'd be crazy.
What's the next one?
The next one.
I ain't going into hypotheticals like that.
I'm not either. I think that'd be a crazy matchup.
It's more so my concern. So, once again, Utah, I just took a whole bunch of notes in this first week. So, Utah was a concern to turn Donovan Mitchell, his future with them. Of course, I said I would not be mad at the Memphis Grizzlies if they were to go 0-8.
You did say that. That's on wax.
I think they're 0-4. They still have the spot. I think they're a game and a half ahead.
Of Portland. Or
a
the
game.
Spurs. I think both. They're right there. Both
it was,
of them.
The Spurs were 9th, 4th, 2nd.
Spurs lost today, though.
Spurs lost today.
Yeah, but they were 10th. Right now, they're a game and a half up on Portland.
Okay, so a game and a half
so that triggers
Portland.
The...
Yeah, the playing game is
triggered
now.
The playing game is going to happen.
Probably, yeah.
Portland's going to win.
Yeah, most likely.
Portland's gonna win.
You see my man's Mello? Y'all see my man's Mello? Y'all see my man's Mello? For all you guys who were just watching this pod for the first time, it was like a month period where I was the only Mello supporter on this pod. Leak was over here talking about Mello didn't deserve to be in the league because he didn't love it enough because he wasted his time with the Thunder. I forgot what
That's
these
wild.
Two guys
he
said.
That.
He definitely
said. I still stand by my original statements. I ain't backing away from nothing. Well, yeah. I said what I said.
You're
I said
wrong.
Melo was talented enough to be in the league, but at this point in time, he does not change a team's winning degree. And to be honest, that is still true. He is not the reason Portland's winning right now. You want to know the
He's
reason
not?
Portland? It's Yusuf Nurkic. That is why
He's
Portland's winning right now.
He's not helping.
Yusuf Nurkic.
Melo's not helping.
I say he's not helping. But
what do you mean?
The conversation is very. Very, very interesting. Because
it's interesting
now. No, it is.
They have the same winning percentage Melo, without him.
Melo is shooting.
Still.
Melo is shooting great. He's getting moved back to his natural three position.
Yes, sir.
But Zach Collins and Yusuf Nurkic
changed
everything about that team.
I mean, yeah.
I do not care,
no,
bro.
Before we go on this tangent, Hassan Whiteside, you are trash. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying that.
He's
7 foot.
I'm
not saying any of that.
I got no beef with
Hassan Whiteside. I actually always liked the game.
I got no beef, bro.
Don't get me wrong. You're talented enough to be in the NBA, but Yusuf Nurkic has made you look bad. Sorry.
I'm I got bad. No beef, Hassan. Zero.
You're better
zero
than me. I won't, I'm not going to go that road.
You good in my hood.
But like,
yeah, yeah.
You Nurkic just made you look bad, my guy.
In my crib, you Nurkic, food anytime. You're pretty good. I make great chicken.
Hassan, I'm not going to disrespect you. I'm not taking it
you are below average. You are a below average NBA big now.
What I was going with the Melo thing.
Melo.
With the Melo thing, clearly Collins and Nurkic help. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, they're not contributing, but mm-hmm. I hate how Melo was getting the blame for them, for him not affecting the winning percentage mm-hmm. when both of them were out. But as soon as both of them come in and Melo is playing well, he gets none of the credit either.
Oh, wait,
like, it doesn't add up to that.
Don't.
Nurkic hasn't played this whole season.
You're right. I'm not saying that.
And Nurkic does help. And Nurkic is an amazing and phenomenal player. I'm not taking a credit away from Nurkic, but individually, like, yes.
Melo's hitting his shots. And it's due to the fact, like I said, it's due to the fact that he's got moved back to his natural position. He gets to be back on the perimeter.
For sure.
He's not necessarily banging with all these fours and fives the entire game.
Did Melo ask to be a four or five?
No, he did not. He's doing what he had to do. He's a professional. He did what he had to do. No hate to that. Not saying he's not playing good basketball right now.
Okay.
He's playing good basketball right now.
Yes,
he's
sir.
Hitting his shots. He's consistently knocking them down. I think him playing in an empty gym.
All I want to hear is that he deserves to be in the league because that's where the first argument has started from. That's where it was. And we got this on wax. Keith is nodding his head.
The first argument was, does he deserve to be in the league? And what team did he deserve to be on?
I'm looking at the former part. The latter part, I understand.
You got to keep in mind what I said. When you're having these arguments about who
was
right.
People. I don't remember what everybody said. What did you say?
When, my fault. Go ahead.
You said what you said.
Yeah,
you said what I said.
You said what you said.
He's talented enough to be on the team.
When you got three arguments, I don't remember everything. So I'm going to give it to you.
Leak say he don't love it. Brian says he doesn't contribute to a winning team. He cannot help a championship organization win a chip.
I say he doesn't move the needle for him anymore. That's all I said.
I say.
That's vague.
I say.
It's a fact.
Melo can be in the league. The issue is, if you have Melo, where does he fit? You can't put him on a rebuilding team because you want to play younger guys.
I do think that's what you said. So
I know that's what I said. Don't tell me what I think. I know what I said.
I'm agreeing with you.
What I said.
What I can say is vague.
It's not vague. That's not vague.
Saying a player in the NBA, like my argument was that literally, I remember how we started this. My argument was there's no reason for Melo not to be in the NBA.
And I said there were reasons. And I gave you those reasons.
And my reason piggybacked off
that. There's no reason that Jared Dudley, shout out Jared Dudley, you're a Laker, should be in the NBA not contributing a thing while Melo is sitting at home.
I'm sad. We really did that at the same time. That's hilarious.
No, because that's stupid. So, you can't tell me Jared Dudley deserves to be on an NBA roster. He contributes to winning, but Melo doesn't. That is wild.
He did
that
not.
That was the example that I brought up the first time, and all three of y'all were against that example.
I did.
All three of y'all were against
we
that.
Weren't against
we weren't
we
against
Jared. We didn't
that.
Say Jared Dudley was better than Carmelo.
No one ever said that.
We didn't say Jared Dudley deserved to be on that team. What we said was it's difficult to have a Carmelo life, a Carmelo aura, a Carmelo personality sitting on the bench if you don't know what you're going to get out of him.
I don't think
so.
I think I knew what I was going to get out
so
of him. That's my argument.
That's your argument.
I knew what
we
I was
gave
get out
you
of
ours. It still holds true. You cannot put him on a rebuilding team because a rebuilding team requires you to play your young guys to see where they fall. You're not necessarily sure of how he fits on a championship team because at that moment, we didn't know what Melo we were getting.
I think we didn't know, but I think y'all took the negative and I took the positive.
No, I took exactly what I said from jump. He's talented
Stop
enough
changing
to be in the
what league. We said.
Exactly. No,
said
that's what
I said. I said
what
I said.
What I'm saying is y'all didn't really make a statement.
He's still a scorer.
He's good enough to be in the NBA, but I don't know where he's going to go. It's not really saying a lot.
That's saying exactly what I think.
That's not a lot.
He's talented enough to be in the league.
It was a whole lot of hate that podcast,
bro.
That wasn't
hate.
It was a whole lot of negativity.
Here's the thing about it that's funny. Like, you're sitting up here talking about how great he's playing.
I didn't say how great he's playing. I'm saying that he's proved that he should be in the NBA and he can help
around. He's doing the exact same thing he's been doing November, December, January, February, March, July.
And then winning because other people
way.
Came back, right?
You know what the difference is?
Other people came back.
Zach Collins on the
and
floor,
that's
so they're
saying.
Winning now.
Is Do you win Dolo every game by yourself? Do you win Dolo every game by yourself?
So what I said from jump.
Do you win Dolo every game by yourself?
So what did I say from jump? I said he does not the needle.
I didn't
he
think
won't
so.
Make you better.
I think a team
he
moves the needle, and I think they got a team back.
Did he make them
better? And I think Melo has
better?
Been playing.
Did he make them better?
Yes, yes. No, I think they're playing better.
They have the same record with or without him.
I think they're playing
better.
How are you
better? You're the same.
I think they're playing better. You just got to see them with their full roster.
Huh? No, but that's not what he signed on for. The reason they signed him is because they didn't have a full roster.
Maybe
that was the reason they say, you know what? We have nothing else.
For sure.
Give us Melo.
For sure.
We had nothing else.
For sure. When Dwight Howard got his little joint, yeah, for sure. Has Dwight Howard helped the Lakers?
Yes.
All right. What's the next one?
You can actually see where Dwight's helped the Lakers, though.
And I can
like
see
with Melo,
has.
There's no evidence. There's no evidence to say he helped Portland. None. You have no evidence to say he helped Portland.
If they win an AC and Melo plays well, you got to say he didn't help them?
I say he contributed just like everybody else.
So
he didn't
what
make.
What is
I could say, I could arguably say
no,
you
no,
can
I'm,
add
I
any other average NBA small forward and they still go to the AC. I can make that argument.
I mean, I
easily.
Can make that argument about a lot of things, but I can say I saw it with this person.
So what?
So that means that that person did it.
But I can say
I'm not,
anybody.
No, I'm not going to take away
what
from it.
What Tamon is saying, the reality is Melo is playing. No one else is there.
He's contributing and
he's
helping.
On the stat sheet. He
I
has
give,
points.
And
he
I
has
give
assists,
him that.
He has rebounds. All of
and
that,
I said that
all in the third.
You
so that
put
means,
Melo on any
so
team.
That means he's contributing. And if he's contributing
and
they're winning games.
He's contributing the winning.
He's contributing.
He's helping
and
their
the,
franchise.
He's contributing and the team is winning games. So therefore, that means he helps.
My argument right. was that he shouldn't have been out of the league for that long because of the reasons that other people stated.
Once again, I don't believe any like anytime we mention this, you can go check the pie, check whatever moment that was. I said very, very clearly. It's
I, no,
all
I think you
about
did say exactly what you
fit.
Said.
It's
when you
all
said
about
it, it rang
fit.
In my head. But
it's all about fit. So on a Portland team that did not have many things to go to.
You know what?
He
I
fit.
Didn't like, I didn't
but
like
you,
the way
you
it,
couldn't put him on Portland.
I didn't like the way it made it sound like Melo didn't fit anywhere in the NBA. That's what I disagree.
He did it until Portland had a rash of injuries.
All I'm saying is, we're looking at young teams. We don't know about that. We're looking at old teams. In terms of teams that wanted to win chips, you can say, yeah, Jared Dudley for Carmelo. Yeah, give me Carmelo. Off name alone, you could say that. But at that moment, a lot of people were concerned about, is Carmelo going to be able to understand his limited role. We didn't know that. Yes, we saw him on first take, and yes, all that. We didn't have an understanding right, of how
well,
he's going to handle
is,
that situation.
After seeing Melo this whole year, do you think he understands his limited role?
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm cool with that. I'm cool with leaving the conversation right there because initially it was, I don't know he's going to understand his limited role. Now it's
hindsight's 2020, TK.
And I'm
so we're
I'm
all
saying.
Watching it.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
That's not what you're saying.
That's literally
you're getting
what I'm
mad at us for not seeing
I'm
the future.
I'm not even mad.
like,
I'm not even mad.
I'm still standing by my original statement. Like, I don't think he helps a team over the hill in any aspect. Like,
I mean,
just,
a lot of players don't. A lot
and
of
I
players
agree.
Don't.
I've said that
that's
from jump.
A lot about a lot of players. Like,
I've
that's
said
what,
that from jump.
When I say, like, that's not saying much, that's what I meant.
Like
I've you said, literally,
he's talented enough to
you
be
can
in the
say
league.
That about like 80
that.
To 85% of the NBA. They
Big
don't
facts.
Move the middle.
And
the
that
needle.
Was my point.
And that's not
Melo
a huge
falls
statement.
In that category
but that's
now.
Not a huge statement. That's not a huge statement. That's not even a take.
That is a take.
That's not.
It's
oh I, yeah, I he's just like the rest of the 85% of the NBA. That's not really.
But when you attach the name Carmelo Anthony to it, who's a
he's
first
not
ballot
Melo
Hall of
anymore.
Famer,
he's a first ballot.
30 plus.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
For
he's
sure.
30 plus. Doesn't sure. really play defense like that. He still needs the ball to be effective at times. Like, when you add all of that up, a lot of teams look at that and go, it ain't worth it. And that's just reality. Here's the funny part. I guarantee you this offseason, we're going to be having this conversation again.
Probably. Probably.
No, man.
Probably.
We're going to have this conversation. It won't last as long. He's going to get picked up. Don't get me wrong. Somebody's going to sign him. But we're going to be having this conversation again. Where does Carmelo fit? Man, I don't know. Can't go to this team because they're too young. Can't go to this team because they're trying to win a title. He don't play defense. Can't go here because da-da-da. Like, we're gonna be having this exact same conversation again, which shows where he falls in the NBA pecking order now.
Like I said, if you want to compare him to the rest of the 85% of the NBA, I'm fine with you doing that. Because, like, in my mind, like, that doesn't say a lot about a person's individual talent.
hey, you scored in the 85 percentile.
What time you got, Keith?
It's 8:30 on the dot.
I mean, 8:31 now. Pod time.
Hour and some change.
Hour and five?
Yeah.
Okay, we're good. We're going to hurry up and get out of here. All right, so shout out, Mello.
Yeah, good. Hey, man, you shout always clutch. I've said that for years. You're clutch.
But he doesn't help you.
Mello, good play. We talked about Yusuf Nurkic, talked about Zach Collins and that impact.
Nurkic is a problem.
Nurkic has been a problem.
Big facts. They just beat Houston.
Yep.
But I'm not necessarily concerned about Houston. Don't really care about what Houston's doing. Shocking.
Super AU team. I love the way they're playing in the bubble. I hate watching it, but it's hilarious.
I've watched every Houston game almost.
Tell me it's not hilarious to watch.
It's so bad.
When they streetballed the Mavs into that overtime win. When I saw Russ arguing the score on the sideline, I'm like, Russ.
Yo, if you are a true basketball fan, if you're a basketball mind, and you didn't like the Warriors, but you love the Rockets, you're not a basketball head. You're just not.
I don't know anybody who didn't like the Warriors but loved the Rockets.
Like, I know quite a few people
out there. There's people out there.
They're like, they hated the Warriors, but they love the Rockets. I'm like, the Rockets are literally the worst things about basketball magnified times 10.
That's aggressive.
They are.
It's funny, though.
They're the worst things about basketball. All ISO. They're literally shooting 50 to 60 threes a night. But the Warriors shot too many threes.
That's aggressive. The Bucks lost to Houston.
They did. I don't care. They're not going to beat them in a series. I don't care. Houston can't keep this up. You can already see it wearing them down.
They did get a 4.5 month break.
The 4 month layoff was the greatest thing to ever happen to Houston.
For sure.
Because they cannot. They are getting killed on the boards, and it is hilarious. That is the one thing that is funny. Because you can see them fighting so hard on the boards, and they're still losing by 30.
Yeah, I think there was one play I saw. It was off a free throw. You normally don't lose boards off the free throw.
And there ain't nothing they can do about it. It was rough. That's why I like the biggest thing about like that Bucks win when Covington got that tip in. It was like, what?
Right.
It was like, that was the one you kind of go back to the sideline. Mike Budenholzer should have been like, yo, I should smack all of y'all. Like, that's the one way we can't lose. On a rebound at Houston. I'm so sick of Houston. I hope they get swept.
Shout out Houston.
First round.
Maybe. Not really.
To the Beard and the Brody.
And they're not, because they're going to end up playing like Utah, and they're going to beat the brakes off of them. And everybody's going to be like, oh, my God, look, it worked. Shut up.
Then they will see the Clippers in the second round.
And get destroyed.
Shout out to the Beard and Brody.
So biased. You and your baby.
Everybody, Russell Westbrook playing the best basketball of his career. Yeah, he's being guarded by centers now. I hope he can get by him.
Shout out to the Brody.
Shout out 5-0.
Russ West.
Ridiculous. TJ Warren's a bucket.
Oh, you jumped that gun.
I did. But I've been on the TJ Warren train all year.
We been new. Even when he was with the Suns, we knew he was a bucket.
I've been on TJ Warren train all year. He was my big addition for the Pacers.
Now, it's whether he was going to transition into that bucket helping in terms of winning.
I mean. 39 a night.
I'm not questioning this joint now. Oh, no. He's averaging nearly 40 in a bubble. Like, I'm not.
He can't keep this up though.
For sure. But I'm not questioning TJ Warren. But the initial question was, how much does his buckets help?
How much does he contribute to winning?
Yeah,
that was the question. Like I said, I'm actually Indiana's actually a very interesting team if he's gonna play
like that
close to this,
like that.
Like if he's just gonna be 25 plus. Like,
but Sabonis is out, right?
I kind of think that's the reason he's going off, though.
For sure. He has a super duper green.
Their spacing is so much better without Sabonis and Turner on the floor. Like, Turner, you can see, is like he hit like 5 threes the other night. Like, 4 or 5, like, against the Magic. It was ridiculous.
They got two different teams, almost.
Yeah. Pretty much.
At least that's what is being shown. What we're seeing now is you got a team where you know for a fact Sabonis, and when Vic comes back,
Vic's playing well.
Like, he is. But, like,
is Vic?
Like next season, when Vic is full strength Vic, you're going to have that. And then you're going to have the TJ Miles Turner duo probably rocking that second unit. And you're going to be like, okay, this is nice.
I think they got to make a move.
Yeah, I would say Miles Turner rocking the second unit, bro. That's not what they
I think they got to make a move. They got to make a decision.
That's unfortunate.
It is, but I think they got to make a decision. Honestly, I don't know if Oladipo's going to be there next year.
We actually had a discussion. It was me, Leek, and Manny, and it just wasn't very many moving spots for a near 30-year-old who's about to get his first max.
Like I said, I think he needs to continue to play well in the bubble. Like I said, he's still coming back from the injury, so you can see him still shaking the rust off a little bit. But like I said, if I don't know if y'all remember, like there was that time where he said he wasn't going to play in the bubble. And then it was like,
he realized he was losing out on like $3 mil.
Well, he realized he was losing out on $3 mil, but then there was also the rumor like, well, the Pacers wouldn't extend him like they were supposed to. So it was like friction between him and the front office. Like, I think there's some underlying currents there that we aren't going to find out about until
he gets moved.
Until he gets moved. Mm. So I don't think he's going to be there next year. I think
the Pacers got a history of. I'm going to leave that alone.
So, like, they got Brogdon, who's going to be, I think he's their point guard of the future for the next 4 or 5 years. He's going to be really good at that spot for them. TJ Warren shows he can be a 20-plus scorer.
They don't have, like I said, like, I don't think they have anything.
Kind of stuck in the same spot. Or make anything Utah.
Move that if they just, even if they move Vic, they're still going to be in the same position they are right now. Like, That's why I'm not really tripping off of it. I don't see how they move anything and get better.
Some franchises just get stuck in that.
Purgatory.
That second fiddle spot.
Atlanta Hawks were forever.
Yeah, they just get stuck there. And that's how I kind of... And I think this is due to the fact that front offices don't necessarily know how to, one, communicate with their players, and two, how to give players exactly what they need in terms of being successful. The Pacers, like I said, they have a history. Paul George, whether people believe him or not, I mean, some people will say, like, Paul George has a tendency to just talk all the time or just take random moments where he's taking shots at Indiana. Mm-hmm. There was a moment where he was having feuds and issues with the front office. And now you see the same thing happening with Vic. That's in, what, a 10-year span? That's all within, like, a 10, 11-year span. And these are two stars. These are two stars. If you can't, and you said this before, you can't treat your stars right, why should I feel comfortable playing for you? Why should I feel comfortable coming here?
Big facts.
So you only get stuck with those tier two, tier three players, and then you have to depend on the coaching of great coaches like McMillan, great coaches like Dwayne Casey, great coaches like where you just like...
You're trying to college it up.
Exactly. You're trying to fight Big East your way to wins. And that only works for so long. It'll work in a one-game tourney. But you're talking about seven games.
You're not gonna beat any good team.
Yeah, like so.
That's what I love about the series play. Like generally, the better team wins. Generally,
99% of the time.
So
barring extreme factors.
Yeah. So I think that's something that you're right. Like I didn't hear that till now. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. But as soon as you said something about Vic,
gotta listen to Brian Windhorst.
Oh, Brian Windhorst be talking about everybody. He got all the dirt.
Man, he be going off.
Did y'all hear
about what?
Woj started unfollowing ESPN.
I'm trying to figure out what's he gonna do though. Is he gonna start his own? Is he going somewhere Woj else?
If Woj leaves ESPN,
maybe we could recruit him to the pod.
We don't have that budget.
What? I gotta try something, right?
Woj, he is the most reliable source on all fronts. I think there's only two people I trust word more at ESPN, or I wouldn't say more, but equally. That's Adam Schefter.
Shams and Schefter?
Adam Schefter.
About it.
And I don't even say Shams. Shams be late.
So who? McMullen? We're going to take one of the
she
analysts?
She talking though.
She talking. Yeah,
I was like, she does all her stuff behind the scenes.
Who was it? Stephen maybe, A? Like, what
maybe,
are
maybe Windhorst, but his stuff is only behind the scenes stuff. Like, when you talk about breaking news.
So it's only Schefter. I take that back. I only, like, in terms of.
Breaking news?
Yeah, Schefter and Woj. That's it.
That's it.
So the fact that he's thinking about leaving is kind of wild. I don't know what he's gonna do, but it's something.
Could
happening.
Join the pod.
Something is happening.
We don't have that budget.
Shout out Woj.
Y'all don't know how to recruit. Y'all over here telling what we don't. And...
You can look at our subscriber count right now. See, we ain't got the budget.
Hey, yo, hit that sub button,
please, man. Help us out. Get Woj over here, though.
Man,
help us out.
Woj, this college is Louis Vuitton, bro. Don't let them talk about our subscribers and our budget, bro. We got it.
Oh man, that's funny. Oh
man. So yeah, we don't care about the Bucks losing.
No, they set Giannis and which qualifier?
Bledsoe
finally came back. He played against Brooklyn, but then he sat out too.
Okay. Do we care if J. Cole makes it to the league?
No, he's not going to.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to.
J. Cole's not going to get a 10-day?
Bro, no, if J. Cole gets a 10-day, I deserve a 10-day. Like,
players were offended.
They should be.
No, realistically, like, it's like two parts. I'm all for J. Cole trying to live out his dream.
Yeah, dream.
I don't think that he's good enough to make the league. So
I've seen J. Cole play.
It's one of those. I'm not mad at Cole if this is what he wants to do. Like, cause this is what we always tell our kids to do. Like, can tell everybody to do. People tell me to do. Chase your dreams, dog.
Yeah, right.
Like, chase your dreams as hard as you can. Now, if Cole makes the league, I can name 100, 200, 400, 500 people that probably should have made it before Cole, so I wouldn't like that. So now, I can say this. Cole, I wish you best on your journey. And if you make the league, I hope you're somehow surprisingly good enough to make the league. That's what I want. Don't throw him on a roster because he's Cole. Throw him on a roster because Jermaine Cole is good enough to be on the roster. And if he surprises
Jermaine
me like
Cole's
that...
Cole's not good enough to be on the roster.
My sentiments exactly. If he surprises me like that, well... Golly gee wow. I'm surprised. Like, hey. I just don't want this to turn into people, because like I did see this on like social media, like people are actually hating the quest rather than
I'm one of those people.
No, he can try as hard as he wants. Right.
Let's hear why.
He can try
let's
as hard
why
as
you
he
hate
wants.
The quest, B.
You can try anything you want.
Okay.
But it has to be managed with realistic expectations.
That's boo-boo.
You are not. That's boo-boo. No. This is not the same as talking to a child or talking to a 15, 13, 14-year-old. You are a grown man, Jay.
35.
You are.
You can't dream?
Bruh, your dreams died at 22. You are one of the greatest rappers of this generation. You've made a ton of money. You have a good life.
Whoa. What age did Andre Ingram take the league?
There is
no point.
Not
to make a comparison. I'm just saying.
There is no point in you trying to make the NBA other than because you just, I don't know, have nothing else to do right now. Like,
you can't love
no
the game
purpose.
And want to get there?
You can love the game from your couch. That's great. Watch. Enjoy. You want to be a judge at the NBA dunk contest? Go for it. Knock yourself out. So play in the celebrity game like you did and score the whole 2 points. Like, go do you, man. Enjoy the game.
What's more like the thing that gets you like madder? Like, is it because of his age or because of the fact that he's just trying, period?
The fact that he's trying, period.
So if he was 24, you would still be mad?
Yes.
So there's an age limit on trying. If he was 20-year-old J. Cole, you would still be mad?
Probably. Especially after watching him play basketball. But if he was actually somewhat of a really good basketball player, I'd go,
off, bro. Like,
okay, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe
he's been
like
training.
I don't
care. That's boo-boo too. Look, I'm just, maybe because I like, mind you, we're both educators. My group of kids is younger than yours.
Facts.
There's already traits and characteristics I see in my kids that would suggest that they wouldn't be good professionals in a certain field. Mm-hmm. Am I supposed to get mad or even down them when they try to attempt? Like, if they tell me...
Once again, we're not talking about kids. We're talking about a grown... Like, at
age... somebody chasing her... Like, at what point in this cutoff? Like, if I looked at all of y'all in your face right now, it's like, you know what?
If we're talking athletics...
And that's why I asked, is it the age thing? Because you just said at 20. At 20?
At 20?
You're still athletic.
At 20? No, listen to what I'm saying. Because I tell my players this all the time. Especially my dual sport athletes.
And I'm not, for everybody back home, I had to cut you off. I'm not arguing that J. Cole should be in the league. I'm arguing that he should chase his dreams and be fine. That's all I'm arguing.
Like,
for.
I say this all the time to my kids who are like dual sport athletes who play two sports. At a certain age, you have to decide, what are you really going to focus on? Because for most athletes, and this is most, not all, but for most athletes, you can't give two sports the same amount of time and be great at both. For most athletes.
You see it a lot if it's quarterbacks and baseball. Like, maybe. That's generally the transition is football and baseball.
Facts. And like I said, but football and basketball players, like I said, you can't go from being a great safety in football to a great point guard in basketball. It's like, or a great safety in football
it's
to a great
extremely
it's extremely rare.
Yes,
so
we
you have to decide what you're going
to
do.
Everybody listening, but it's extremely rare. Yeah, we have
those are super rare.
That's why I said it's rare.
So when we're talking about athletics, there's a certain age when you realize what you are and what you aren't. You will, at a certain point, and granted, not to say there aren't late bloomers. Once again, there are exceptions to the rule. But at a certain age, you realize, hey, bruh, I'm not a pro.
But I can't be mad at somebody chasing me.
I can when you are 35 and have accomplished everything in your career musically that you can do.
So what's wrong with chasing another dream?
There is no point.
The point is that you love it.
Love it from your couch. Love 2K.
Bro, I can't.
Love going to the game.
Bro, I can't.
You are
that.
Not.
I can't respect
if you love it,
that.
Go. He goes to all the open gyms and he gets work there. Like,
I can't respect that. Dog.
Have
like,
fun, bro. Love the game.
If you want to chase
the
it,
same
you can
way
chase
we love
it.
The game and we go play at an Amp Fam. Love the game. Enjoy yourself. I'm not going to a G League tryout because I know I'm not good enough. I'm sorry.
I don't like. You know what it is? What it comes down to? I don't like the mentality you just spoke of.
What?
I'm not going to the G League trial because I know I'm not good enough. I'm fine
with not wasting my money.
Brian, I'm fine with you having a mentality, but to tell somebody else they should is where I think the wrong is. I think if you have the resources, if you can expend this amount of money for trying, because you mentioned like wasting your money. His family's taken care of. Everything's good. If he retired today and never worked a day in his life, like all expenses are good. But if he wants to chase his dreams, go ahead. I will be mad if he made it if he didn't deserve it because I don't think he's good enough to make it. That's a different statement than I don't think he should even try. If he wants to try, go ahead and try. Like, I'm not going to knock a man for trying to chase his dreams regardless of his
age. I'm going
to
knock a 35-year-old man.
If he was 70 and said, I want to touch the league, I'm not going to be sitting here and saying, oh, bro, like, don't try to like. I'm be like, yo, go ahead. I don't expect you to make it, but I love the fact that you're trying.
I'm going to look you in your face and say, yo, dude, this is not it. Like, move on. I would say the same thing to a 42-year-old rapper handing out his demo CD on the
street. I think that's a slippery slope. Like, at what point do you cut off that?
At a certain age, you have to be realistic with yourself.
That's
at a
wild.
Certain age.
That's wild. Because if a lot of people thought like that, they wouldn't get far.
About certain things,
they wouldn't get far,
yes,
bro. They wouldn't get far, bro.
If we're talking athletics. At a certain age, you have to know.
At a certain age, I'm agreeing with you.
I didn't expect
you
this to be
now. Once again, now we're talking about business. We're talking about business sense and all that. Yeah, you can start a business at any age. You want to write a book?
You
can do all that. Period. Any age.
You can chase it. You don't have to make it, and I don't think he will make it. But I can't be mad at somebody.
All you're doing is wasting somebody's time and taking somebody's spot who actually has a chance of being.
Okay, how many 20-year-olds there? Wait, what? First of all, I said I would be mad if he took somebody's spot.
But the fact that he's even going to get a tryout is wasting
time. How many 20-year-olds get a tryout and they were boo boo?
But at the end of the day, guess why? You want to know why they're getting a tryout? Because somebody saw them at 20 and said you are actually worth the tryout. Nobody has looked at J. Cole and said, yo, you're worth an NBA tryout. No,
so it's his fault that he gets a tryout?
Pretty much, yeah.
Nah, that's
the only reason he's getting the tryout is because he's J. Cole. That's the only reason.
That's why.
If he wasn't a great rapper, if he wasn't famous, we would all, if he walked into an NBA arena without those credentials and said, yo, I want to try out as a 35-year-old,
right?
They would say,
hookups, right?
Boom, I don't want
it. All I heard was hookups.
The reason I got
one of my jobs is because Keith gave me the hookup. People get hookups. I'm not mad for people for trying to get their hookups. I'm mad if you don't deserve it after the fact.
I'm saying he doesn't deserve this hookup.
I don't think he...
He doesn't deserve this hookup.
I don't think he deserves to be in the NBA, but I'm not mad at him chasing it. Like, that's the difference. We're here with the end result, but, like, I'm not going to knock a man for chasing it.
Like I said, I expect this to go long.
My fault.
You know, it's okay. You got warm.
Hey,
I respect you, bro.
Go chase your dreams,
you're one of my
bro.
Favorite rappers.
Go chase your dreams,
but
bro.
But nah, bro, this
go
ain't
chase
it.
Your dreams.
This ain't
just
it,
make
bro.
Sure if you achieve those dreams, you're actually good enough to achieve those dreams, and not because of a hookup. That's how I feel. I'm not mad at you for trying. I would be mad if you actually somehow inexplicably got it and you didn't deserve it.
You don't deserve it.
So Detroit Pistons tweeted.
That was boo-boo.
With the J. Cole on the back of the jersey. I'm just going
to
leave it at
that.
They
need to sell tickets, so whatever.
I'm not mad at them for doing it either. Like,
shout outs. Hey, y'all see
they only got 12 slots on the Pistons. Like, I'm not mad. I'm just like, yo, like, whatever.
Oh, man. I want to shout out.
Have you seen J. Cole dribble?
Anthony Davis.
Hey, look, man.
I've seen myself
do a whole lot
Michael
of things.
Michael Porter Jr., you are balling, my guy. Keep it up, man. I'm proud of you.
I want to shout out MPJ. I want to shout out Michael Porter Jr., Anthony Davis. They're putting up some wild numbers.
Did y'all see that tween step back from AD the other night?
That was crazy.
We watched that live. Leak, since Leak isn't here, I'm going to speak for him. Leak literally said that point shouldn't count. He was like, nope, he shouldn't be able to do that. That's tech, foul, something. It was beautiful. That's what it was.
I want to shout out the Toronto Raptors.
Shout out Kyle Lowry.
They've been giving everybody headaches.
I had faith.
Everyone giving headaches.
Did you? Because you went back on them.
Yeah, you only, reneged.
The only reason
I went back is because y'all talked me into injuries.
That's what is faith?
I don't care, Ryan. What is you faith went back.
And you know what?
All y'all screamed about me. All y'all screamed at me about Kelly Oubre. Did I back out on Kelly Oubre? So I don't want to hear anybody trying to convince anybody.
I said they were a contender. I just said they fall a little bit further than standings. Only thing now is they haven't fallen. They're still a contender.
No. All I heard was you lost. All right, what's next?
Shout out Shake Milton.
Bounce back game.
Hit the game winner. That ball was supposed to go to.
It was.
It was supposed to go to Embiid.
Shout out Embiid for yelling that shake.
DeJounte Murray played that so horribly though.
He did. He did.
Like, he didn't even try to guard Shake.
Ooh, I don't know if this was next. Shout out D Book.
Big facts. Oh yeah.
Shout out D Book.
Great shot.
I really wish Leek was here for this one. Shout out D Book.
D Book.
Uncle Y. Great MPG.
Shot. D Book. Great shot.
Uncle Y. MPG.
Y'all don't know, we got a group chat. Leek be talking to himself at certain
big facts.
Y'all see, I didn't even respond. I was like,
I got tight for like 30 seconds. Then I was like, I'm not responding.
I had to because I'm not responding.
I was like, how did Brandon Ingram get caught in this conversation?
Exactly. He's not even on the court, fam.
It's like, oh, okay. So you know what? Brandon Ingram's better than Kuz, but he's not better than D-Book. And I'm like, we're not just going to make an argument about who's
D-Book
better.
D-Book hit
than
this
Brandon
great
Ingram.
Shot. That's why he's not B.I. or B.I.'s not D-Book. I'm like,
I mean, I knew where it was going because when we had that whole blow up.
It was a shot at you.
It was a shot at me, but when we had that big blow up, he made the comparison. He was like, Devin Booker and Brandon Ingram were putting up very similar numbers.
Oh, because we're talking about empty points. Exactly. But the difference was you said Brandon Ingram and Devin Booker were on the same level.
I still say that.
I said they're comparable.
I just said it's respectable to even put them in the same sentence. I think they're in the same tier. Even on the pod, that one time I said, like, I will probably say Devin Booker is slightly better than B.I.
I would say he's slightly better, but I don't think Ingram's that far behind. And I would say...
they should be mentioned in the same sentence. So that's how I feel. Big.
That's all I said.
Let's get out of here, man.
Shout out D-Book.
Did I leave anything out? Let me see. Utah, Grizzlies winless. New Orleans, AD getting buckets. Cole trying to make the league. Michael Porter Jr., that boy's hooping.
He's gone.
He did that without everybody on the court, too. Just keep that in mind. That's
missing Jamal Murray. Gary
exactly.
Jokic went for 30 that night, too.
He did, but
like, let's not
They have no guard play right now.
Yeah, that was no guard.
They have no guard.
The backcourt play was nowhere.
Like, Jokic is the point guard right now.
TJ Warren, of course, the 53 points versus Philly. Then 34 versus Washington. We're still trying to figure out why Washington is there. Shout out to Brooklyn. Brooklyn got a win. Who cares if Giannis was on the court 16 minutes? Y'all got to win. Brian said y'all won't go win. He said it. He said he don't know where y'all there.
Did I say they weren't going to win?
I think you did.
Why is always this did I with you? Whenever
I really don't remember.
I know
I said they were trash. I know they said they're horrible. I know I said a whole bunch of things about them. I don't know if I said they aren't going to win. But if I did, I'm not shocked. I don't care. Like, whatever. I stand by my statement. The only reason y'all won is because Giannis and Chris didn't play in the second half. I don't care. Guess what? Y'all earned the right to get swept in the first round. Yay. Giannis is going to put 40 on y'all.
A win is a win.
Good for y'all, man. Get that extra bonus check. I ain't mad.
Imagine the slander they would catch if they lost when Giannis and
they almost did.
But it's a lose-lose situation. If we win, we're going to discredit the win. If we lose, y'all are bums for
losing. No, I would have said they are exactly
what they
are.
Shout out Trey Burke.
Yeah.
Luka. 34, 20, and 10.
Good.
Yeah. I was about to say 12, but
yeah, I taught him that.
I'm firmly on the Luka train. I've been on it, but I am firmly on it. Him and Ja might be my two favorite players from here on out.
Shout out Ja Morant.
God, I feel bad for Ja.
Y'all ready to go home?
I'm ready, man. Let's get out of here.
I almost blew this pod up with something I was about to say. I'll tell y'all afterwards.
Oh, man. Yo, next week is the 1-year anniversary, man.
It is.
I'm going to miss it.
Next week marks one full calendar year of when we started the pod. I don't know what to say, man. This is just an idea. I'm not going to get into it. I'll see it more in the next one. That'll just be me and TK. So that's going to be funny.
Yeah, y'all going to get hip to like our AP Gov class. Like me and Greg went to high school together. And we were always on opposite sides of every situation.
Everything. I didn't want to be on the same team as him. I wanted him to guard me on the court.
We would. We had great games against each other.
And we started as rivals. I think that's why we're friends now.
It actually started in fifth grade because that's when, like, I had
transferred into the school he just transferred into. Mm-hmm. And yep. I walked in, everybody was like, Greg. And I was like, yo, wrong black guy. Like, wrong new black guy. Hi, you guys. I'm Tamon. My friends call me TK. They were like, you're not Greg. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure.
I didn't know that happened. That's wild.
Bro, you have no idea. First 2 weeks I got there, Greg, nah, wrong guy.
Wow.
Keith is weak.
Oh, we heard him.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So, yeah, we appreciate everyone who watches the show. We appreciate everyone who tunes in, comments and likes and subscribes. The subscribes are continuously going up, slowly but surely. We pushing 80, I think. So I appreciate that. We appreciate that. We're going to keep growing. No shade to any other podcasts on YouTube. I think we're better than y'all, low key. Better, high key.
Oh, better in what? You got to specify that.
Better at potting.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking just basketball.
Y'all always want to just... How you going to bring the before pod argument to the near post pod?
He did. I mean, brought it up. I want a clarification.
Hey, for sure. I just don't think there's a comparison. I think we're us and y'all. And I think I like us more than I like y'all. But I'm supposed to like us more than I like y'all. So
no shade.
I'm believe it. Yeah.
No shade.
That's what I'm believing.
Y'all do what y'all do.
If y'all don't think that y'all are better than us, then y'all shouldn't be doing this.
Like, exactly.
That's
exactly
how I feel.
That's how the game is played. Mamba mentality.
I don't think there's any pod that can take us on the court. I'm just going to leave it at that.
You see how I try to manipulate our way out.
Let's go, Keith.
Well, if we there, then what's up?
Facts. Yeah. All right. I'm done.
Say what I said.
As always, eat, sleep, breathe the game. We love you. Be safe. We out.
What craziness was you about to say?
Bro, I was this close.